Hi everyone, I'm Maria Pajares. As always said, I'm working with CIMIT in Mexico. I'm working in the wheat physiology group, mainly with the airborne remote sensing platform that we have over there. So I'm going to be talking a bit about how it's applied and some of the results that we have. So first of all, why do we use airborne remote sensing within our group? One of the main reasons is to increase accuracy of the field measurements that we have compared to other types of measurements, and I'm going to go into that in the further few slides. Non-intrusive measurements, so we can make measurements indirectly without affecting the plants. Coverage of large areas, so potentially we can make measurements of hundreds or even thousands of plots with one single image. Accessibility, so we can make measurements, for example, if some of our experiments have just been irrigated and we can't walk inside, we can take an image over the top. And reduce error variance, so we can use some of the remote sensing data to help reduce variance of other types of measurements, for example, due to field variability. Some of the applications, high throughput phenotyping, so basically making fast measurements of lots and lots of plots. Gene discovery, so for example, we can use remote sensing measurements to measure traits that could be related to QTLs that have associations with heat or drought adaptation, and breeding. So we have the potential to use remote sensing data as a selection tool for breeders. The type of sensors that we have are thermal, multispectral and RGB cameras. So in the past and also currently, we've been using a lot of ground-based instruments to make measurements of physiological traits of our experimental plots in the field. So for example, we have the handheld infrared thermometer to look at canopy temperature. We have a green seeker to look at NDVI. And then spectral radiometer, a high resolution instrument where we can retrieve different types of spectral indices relating to pigment content or water content. And that's just an example of a thermal image of some wheat within the field. And not to forget the most important remote sensing instrument that we have are our eyes, which breeders use all the time. So with these instruments, we've got a lot of robust results with the data that we've outputted that relates to the physical traits of the plants. So with these traits, we've associated them with agronomical traits such as yield and biomass. So, for example, here we have the water index relating to yield, and here canopy temperature relating to grain yield. So, you know, we've seen this over the past few years, so these results have been validated, or these measurements have been validated. However, when you're looking at, when you start to look at really big trials of hundreds or thousands of plots, these ground-based measurements can have some constraints. So this is just a quick sketch of the temperature, ambient temperature across time. So if you can imagine using a handheld canopy infrared thermometer to measure canopy temperature of a trial that has thousands of plots, it can take days. So that's going to introduce, obviously, lots of errors in your measurements. And here's an example of a wheat trial that we've had over the past few years. It has about 40,000 plots. So measuring using ground-based instruments is just not feasible. So relating to that, we tried to get some satellite data and see how well that worked, because obviously satellite data you can get, you know, really high ground coverage. So we used WorldView 2 satellite, and you can get that to about half a meter spatial resolution. So we tried to retrieve NDVI from our experimental wheat plots with an image, and we found that it worked really well with the big experimental plots at about 8.5 meters to 10 meters length. But then when we tried to look at smaller plots at about 2 meters, which is, you know, what most of our experimental plot size is, it just didn't work. The spatial resolution wasn't good enough. And also you have the constraints with cloud cover and temporal resolution with satellite imagery. So that's why we implemented the airborne remote sensing platform, because it has enough spatial resolution to measure, to get a data point for one plot while, you know, measuring thousands or hundreds of plots at the same time. So we've been using a helium field blimp. So we have a 12-channel multispectral camera attached below it, and we have two people holding ropes, walking up and down the field while it takes aerial images. And we also have a handheld helicopter with a thermal camera and a multispectral camera, a remote control helicopter, sorry. And in Zimbabwe, they're using a fixed-wing aeroplane. So the good thing about the blimp is that it's a lot bigger, so it can carry more, you know, heavier, sophisticated instruments. But to be honest, it's really unstable and difficult to use in the field. The images that you get are usually off balance, and if it's just a bit windy, then you know, the quality of the images aren't that good. But at least we tried it anyway. So we've been using mainly the helicopter because it's easy to use, and you know, the images are good quality. It's pretty stable. So here are the cameras that we've been using. This is a 12-channel mini MCA that we use for the blimp, and then we have an ACD light and a FLIR thermal camera for the helicopter, and the normal Sony RGB camera also, and the Miracle thermal camera that's used in Zimbabwe for the fixed-wing aeroplane. So basically, for the thermal infrared imagery, we get canopy temperature. With the multispectral imagery, we can get vegetation indices, for example, NDVI, pigment indices, and water indices. So the last two we can only get with the 12-channel MCA camera on the blimp, unfortunately, because the 12-channel mini MCA is too heavy to carry on the helicopter. With the digital imagery, we can get estimates of land cover and biomass. And one of the things that they do in Zimbabwe is use the images as a priority setting of trials. So before they actually plant the experimental trials, they plant a cover crop to check which part of the field is not so good, you know, to look at land variability. And then if there's any part of the field that have a problem, they plant the low priority trials and save the best part of the field for the most important trials. And what we've been doing is comparing their airborne measured traits with the ground-based measured traits that we've been validating over the past few years. So this acts as a validation of the airborne measurements. And then once we have a validation, we've been using these airborne traits to see how well the relationship is with yield and biomass, to see if we can possibly use these traits as a selection tool for breeders. So here's an example of just some false colour images from the multispectral imagery. So on the left is our images, is an image split into three of the, from the ACD light multispectral camera on the UAV. So that was flown at about 100 metres, and the plot size are 2 metres, so you can see that the resolution is good enough to pick out the single plots. And on the right we have a false colour image from the mini MCA on the blimp, flown at about 60 metres. And the plot size here was 0.5 metre. And you can see even with such small plots you can get, you heard, there's good enough resolution to pick them out. So here's an example of a thermal image. Just to go through briefly some dates and how we analyse the images. This is a raw image, and then we apply a mask to remove any non-vegetation pixels, so soil, cars, people. This is with the aim to, you know, remove any background noise, which you can't do with the ground-based instruments because they're just point measurements, so they're receiving signal from everywhere really, and you can't separate it. So that's one of the good things about the airborne measurements. And then we split the image into the individual plots. And then that's a histogram of one of the rectangles of the plots. So basically we remove the plots with the highest variance, again to remove any leftover noise of any pixels that that are still mixed with soil or something, just to, again, try to increase the accuracy of the measurements. So here's some comparison that we did with airborne and ground-based measurements. So at the top you have the thermal index from the thermal camera on the UAV compared to the canopy temperature of the same plot measured with the infrared thermometer on the ground. And then the same thing below, but with NDVI on the UAV compared to NDVI from the Green Seeker on the ground. So you can see the correlations are quite good. The thing is that the measurements weren't taken on exactly the same day, but it was like 2 or 3 days of, you know, in between from the ground and the UAV. And then here's some correlations that we have. So in the green we have NDVI correlated with yield and biomass from the UAV, and NDVI correlated with yield and biomass from the ground for a couple of trials, sorry. And then the correlation between the ground and the UAV. So you can see that for all of them, the data from the UAV has proven to correlate better with yield and biomass than the ground-based data, even though for some cases it's just a little bit. And that could be due to the fact that we're removing all this background noise from the images. And then the same thing, but with the thermal data from the UAV and the canopy temperature from the ground, you can see again that with the correlations with the yield and biomass, we have slightly higher correlations with the UAV compared to the canopy temperature on the ground. So that's kind of promising. And then another thing that we're trying to do is to determine at which stage of the growth cycle it's best to make measurements. So we were making measurements throughout the season, different stages of the growth cycle, and then correlating the traits that we've measured with, again, with yield and biomass. So I'll show you some results that I did last week. It's still very preliminary, but we can go through them. So this is a graph showing the correlation between NDVI and biomass from the ground in the blue and UAV in the red. And here's days after emergence. So, as time goes by, we can see, we're trying to see which stage is most effective in making measurements. So this is just data from one trial. So, there's a bit of a discrepancy between the ground and the UAV. Once we have more data, hopefully we can make this graph a bit more smoother. But we can see that the best time suggested by the UAV is kind of in between anthesis and grain filling, whereas with the ground it's, a lot earlier. So we need to investigate that a bit more. And this is the same type of thing, but with canopy temperature and the thermal index from the UAV compared to a ground, compared to yield with a heat trial. And there was a lack of canopy temperature measured on the ground from this trial. But you can see from the UAV, it seems like the best stage to measure canopy temperature for this heat trial is at Buting. And then with another similar type of graph for irrigation, comparing ground and UAV against yield and biomass, ground and UAV, NDVI against yield and biomass. So for both yield and biomass, you can see that this graph suggests that the best time to make measurements could be within grain filling. Again, this is just the first round of results. We need a lot more data points to make some, to make stronger assumptions. But this is just to show that, what we could potentially do. And this will be really good for breeders, because breeders, they have really big trials and they don't want to go in and make measurements every, you know, every week. So this will be, this could be a lot, make things a lot more efficient for them. So conclusions, airborne remote sensing, you know, has, we can use it for non-destructive measurements of plant physiological traits over large areas. There's enough resolution to get information at plot level, while the ability to measure hundreds or even thousands of plots. Potentially we have the, you know, ability to determine the most effective measurement time within the growing cycle, and also we have the potential to use the data as a selection tool for breeders, like I said, avoiding time and cost involved with harvesting to increase breeding efficiency. Thank you.
So we have a few minutes for questions. Sorry, could you please use the microphone? This session is being recorded. Thank you.
Have you ever done anything, if you've got years of data, have you ever done anything and said, what is the breeder selection without the data? What is the breeder selection with the data? So you can put a value on whether you're doing the right thing, whether the right measurements are relating back to the selection process.
Yeah, no, I haven't done that. That's the next step, I guess. Yeah, because this is only, we've had this for, I think, 2 years now, so I've just been trying to, you know, validate, or, you know, I had to start up the analysis procedure, I had to, you know, figure out how to make the measurements in the field, so it's been a few years now, and I think, you know, I've kind of got that sorted out, so now that's the next,
price, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, you're right, yeah.